part two. So now we're going to get into some of the cool stuff. Well, soon, just a bit more on what we were talking about in part one. So essentially what we've been building towards in this recent conversation is the question of how are we going to store data in our own master database architecture, right? And so, you know, right now you have these PDFs and you have these signature pages for the creation of these TSN references, and you know, these signature pages on your block publishing server. And the question is, should everything or the vast majority of things just be different types of database engines on your block publishing server? Now, you already, you know, a server is already basically a database. You're storing data in it, and when the only difference with an actual database is you get these extra capabilities that allow you to query, and you know, it becomes a system that is more efficiently used. So the question one is, what shouldn't be in a database, or should we keep these signature pages? Now question two, more relevant, is how we're going to do transactions. So in Bitcoin, you have this thing called a Merkle tree, which is basically if you, every transaction has this data, which is like relevant information, the inputs, the outputs, etc. And it's a very small amount of data that is hashed, right? So you get a transaction hash. And then you, if you can imagine all these transaction hashes, you know, a block might have 2,000 transactions. So imagine lining them up, right, up a piece of paper on a, you know, spreadsheet, however you want to think about it, and then just hashing two at a time, right? Like the last two, and then the second to last two, and the third to last two, until you get all the way up to the top. So you go from 2,000 hashes to 1,000 hashes, and then imagine doing the same thing to those 1,000, right? So then you go from 1,000 to 500, and you essentially just keep doing this, and you're making this tree structure of hashes until you get to the Merkle root, which is just one hash. So you're summarizing an incredibly large amount of data or hashes in one hash. And so the cool thing about this is every Merkle branch, right, or path, whatever the fuck it's called, is summarized in this hash. So you could be, if you have this root, Merkle root hash, anyone could say, you know, could reference a transaction of those 2,000 transactions and provide you the path to it, so to speak. And then you could tell that their transaction, you could like parse that transaction from this root hash, and you could tell that this hash was a part of that hash. So that's what Bitcoin uses, and it looks like with this internal consensus, and remember we're putting the external consensus in our pocket for now, the system's going to look with transactions very similar to Bitcoin. The only difference is, you know, you have one person who is doing the consensus instead of, you know, a distributed network. But other than that, it would probably just be inputs and outputs and change and maybe transaction fees, right? So Bitcoin has all the transactions in these these data files, and it's the Merkle root is a part of the block header hash. So we, at least for transactions at a minimum, would likely just have our own database engine, whichever is the best for that. I mean, I haven't looked into Google's Level DB much yet, but if it works for Bitcoin, apparently it's just for like key value stores, then I don't see why it wouldn't work for us as a database engine for our database management system, which will create our master database that other nodes will replicate and copy exactly. Similarly, you're going to have to keep track of mining, so maybe mining would be its own other database engine. So you see how it all comes together. You could have all these different database engines which feed into this database management system, and everyone just replicates the master database. Now the question is, what does everyone need to have? And, you know, maybe you have a certain set of data which is bigger than what everyone has to have. That remains to be seen. Like, do blocks need to have all the transaction data, right? Or does it just need to have the Merkle root? Or does the do blocks just need to be restructured? And, you know, have a similar header hash and block hash system where the Merkle root is referenced, thus embedding it in the blockchain that way, right? At least the blockchain that everyone has. So that part will be figured out. Okay, so moving on. But similarly, as you can see, there's a lot of realizations from studying Bitcoin system and what we could take and not take. Although I don't understand why it's double hashed to get the block hashed. I don't really understand that. Isn't that, if it's the same, you're using SHA-256 twice. I understand why other parts use, I believe, RIPE-MD and SHA, but if you're doing a double hash of SHA, if SHA is broken, how does that help it anymore? But surely there must be some reason. I'm just trying to figure out what it is to see if it's appropriate for us. So if anyone wants to get back on that, you can. But so we've learned a lot from Bitcoin. And here's a key realization that could help us tinker with something right away that is just 1,000 times more convenient, right? So I've been doing this whole thing with establishing the time where you point out the number of transactions to prove as like an occurrence proof that the block has already happened. Because if it's, you know, like talking about the block height, I could talk about the Bitcoin block height a year from now, but if it hasn't happened yet, I don't know how many transactions were in it. So to prove that the block has already been solved, you say something about it. So really, you could just use the block hash. You could just, you know, in our own TSN blocks, use the Bitcoin block hash instead of using the number of transactions. I mean, you know, because that's derived from the block hash, and it's the same proof, and this way you could just, you know, copy that instead of having to, and same thing with Litecoin, instead of having to put the number of transactions, you just put the block hash. Now you are including your own timestamp, right? Because Bitcoin transactions happen every 10 minutes and Litecoin every 2.5 minutes, both on average, but you are putting like your own stamp of your publishing of the message and or block. So that was in like GMT standard time. So that could still, you could just put the actual Bitcoin block hash, the Litecoin block hash, and then your own timestamp. If you want to be exact to Bitcoin, interestingly enough, as I just found out, the Bitcoin timestamp is basically Unix time, which represents the number of total seconds since January 1st, 1970. Who knew? Pretty fucking cool. So and all this, so maybe you could just do it, you know, it'll just, you don't have to, like, eventually all this stuff, that'll be part of the other TSN client, where you're not going to have to even, like, copy it, it'll just be, like, put in from an API, and then you just put your message, right? But for now, in the interim, this makes things a lot easier. You could just put the Bitcoin block hash and the Litecoin block hash instead of the number of transactions. So that's good. I have to update the tips, right? The truth and improvement proposals to show that. And that's why it's good and smart that we didn't rush to submitting those for being finalized, because while they're close, there's still many little things that could be tinkered with and improved, like that. So, huge progress being made everywhere. It's crazy, it's almost been a year. I think it was like late October when all this started. What else was there? Back to transactions, and then we'll get to the cool discovery, right? So, with these transactions that will probably use Merkle trees for its, you know, architecture the same way Bitcoin does, they could really just be structured pretty much the same way with inputs and outputs and, you know, change addresses. And then the difference is transaction fees, right? To discourage spam. And, you know, the point is, like, paying for CloudTrion, maybe tipping and stuff like that. So it shouldn't be like an incredibly huge throughput for one person's, you know, ledger, right? It shouldn't be, there shouldn't be a need for that. But if you have transaction fees, you can, you know, disincentivize that, and also it goes towards you know, maintaining the network, because it'll be split up by whoever gets the mining rewards for that block pro rata. So, you know, after the block subsidy, it goes away, if you're living for more than 130 years, you got those transaction fees to sustain the network. You know, and then, I don't know, say you pass away, I have no idea why you would even want someone's cloud after they pass away, but, you know, maybe if it became, like, Citadel, someone's cloud became, like, Citadel money or something like that, and it continued, the Citadel continued operating after their death, then, you know, and you still wanted it, then maybe that's when external consensus kicks in, right? Because it's the cloud issuer who updates the state of transactions. So without him, there's no more transactions. So maybe that's when it goes to external consensus. But, you know, this is all tongue-in-cheek. We're getting, you know, silly here. And of course, to be clear, definitely not money. Once again, it's reward points for tipping and CloudTrion and stuff like that. I will say 1,000 times and reiterate it. Obviously, many times in the past, I spoke about what people could do with this protocol, just because, you know, it's like people, terrorists and drug dealers and whatever, could use Bitcoin, but that has nothing to do with, you know, Satoshi wasn't encouraging it. He's just made a protocol that anyone could use for anything. So, of course, major difference between encouraging something or doing it yourself and speaking about what nature allows people to do. See, I gotta be real careful, guys, in case someone decides to come after, you know, the cartoon character who made this network. But by all means, if you think you're gonna, you know, if you think you could reach that far and, you know, with this predictive policing crap and apply it to code and, you know, you're not even allowed to think about creating a certain system that would be a certain way, please bring it on, by all means. I would just fucking love to be the test case on that and see how well you do, you know, with your bitch ass. So, now, of course, just because I always presume, you know, I always act as if my identity was known, proving my identity and proving my identity and attributing it to specific actions is a whole other story, right? So you have all these different layers, but it would be fun. It's like all these pedophile elites, as they're ineptly called, you know, they seem to think, oh, you can't prove it was us fucking those kids, so that's why we've been able to create Bitcoin and just keep moving forward, because it's like anytime they try and, you know, overreach and create certain rules, and then the real key is actually trying to apply those rules, then it's like, oh, well, we could use those same rules against you. So that's how we've gotten this far. Now they realize they're out of power, so they're kind of panicking, they're kind of desperate. And thus you see, you know, when you know you're going to die, you kind of, when you know you're fading away, you, when you're losing power, right, you'll do anything if you're one of these psychopaths, because what else can you do if you've done some really fucking evil shit and it's all out there just sitting on servers? So that's sort of the game theoretical layout, is like we've been able to just do Bitcoin and, you know, do all these different things because there's nothing they could do. And then when they do things, then it comes back tenfold on them. So it's like, okay, you're gonna, you know, go after BitMEX or something like that for the bank secrecy laws? Well, how about the fact that it was of little practical significance who funded 9/11, right, you fucking morons? So, you know, let's get real. I would just love to see a world where we truly enforce money laundering. I think the whole Bitcoin community should get behind that. Then we get to find out and charge and whatever consequences come from the mobs. What happens to the people who are funding child trafficking and, you know, 9/11 and stuff like that. And, you know, it runs through three-letter agencies usually. So what a time to be alive. It's all amazing to experience. So again, I stress, these are just reward points in this LARP, right? Which, you know, I do make these statements as my cartoon character lawyers advise me. So all tracks are covered and all I's are dotted. I've started to be extra careful about things, even though I've pretty much my whole life been anyway, since, you know, I used to have that Twitter account with 10,000 followers, 10,000 plus, and then it started, after I started criticizing this guy, No Real Rubini, right, this fucking douchebag moron fuckface, who just, his only defense mechanism of his puny little self is to speak louder than people and try and be noisier than them and talk about how his daddy's gonna, you know, they're not gonna let you get away with doing Bitcoin, and that's the only way he knows how to speak, right? As he defends his, you know, his banking system, which does, which supports child trafficking and everything else, right? So yeah, it was strange. That's when my Twitter account started getting locked a bunch of times after calling him out by some way of magic. And that's when I said, fuck it, I'll just delete my account. You think I need this shit? I'll make my own system. And so that's how the universe works. And then, bloop, here comes the Truth Social Network. And so I'm walking, and I literally just crossed a sign, yield to peds, like pedestrians, I guess, but I guess that's kind of the universe, you know, synchronicities kicking in. But yeah, so that's when things started getting weird. And then, as I told you guys, I was drugged, all of my accounts and devices were hacked, and my family was threatened. So, interesting stuff. But here we are, and so I never got to the fucking cool part, guys. I'm about to blow your fucking minds. This is incredible. So, it all is with regard to this discovery in how mining could work. And how Bitcoin hashes could literally play into this. And so you'll understand in a second. And just a few addendums. I promise I'm going to get to the cool part. First, I was thinking about how, you know, with this new proposal of mining, you could essentially do robo-signing. And was that a bad thing? Like, if you didn't need a TSN address to mine, you're just... you know, signing with an address of any cryptocurrency PKI, and we spoke about how all addresses are interoperable with this internal consensus. And so if you didn't need a TSN address, potentially one person could just be like robo-signing, you know, and one person could have 10 or 100 issuance transactions in a block. And so was that a bad thing? And I don't think it's a big deal, because your target rate of issuance, you want that to get hit. And if it does get hit, then the proof of work kicks in. So you're sort of incentivizing that proof of work. So the other thing is, like, you think about, and this is how Bitcoin proof of work came to be, is like, do you want to do like a one CPU, one vote type of thing? And it's like, well, if you wanted to restrict it to one node gets to do one mining issuance transaction, then you could sort of do it by a node IP address, and then you have to do all that jazz and keep track of it. So I think that's kind of silly. I think if you're running a node, you're already contributing. And then it's like, even with, if you're sort of robo-signing and doing all of your own addresses that you own, but it's really one person and you wouldn't know that, it's okay, because you're pushing the network towards the target difficulty and the supply is getting distributed. Now, the last aspect before I get to the cool part is, there's the other dynamic of, if you did need a TSN address in order to do it, in order to mine, then you're incentivizing people creating their own, you know, using the Truth Social Network and creating their own TSN address and block publishing server. So it's like, which do you want to incentivize? People running your own node or people using the Truth Social Network? Or maybe it could be a bit of both. But here's the cool part, right? So I'm thinking about how TSN proof of work is essentially the same as Bitcoin's, but it's not contributing to the Bitcoin network, right? Because you're not mining Bitcoin blocks, you're mining TSN blocks. And initially I came to this method because I realized it was okay that even if you had, you know, you don't have to worry about like Bitcoin miners getting the majority hash rate of the TSN network, because there's only one form of consensus, so they can't change the state of TSN blocks, they can only be acknowledged and get credit for, you know, and get rewarded with supply. So you don't have to worry about that. But then, and here's where the cool shit kicks in, I promise, you start thinking, even though you don't have to worry about that, like, it's kind of silly that you're doing all this work and it's not being contributed to the Bitcoin network, or, you know, could be different, it could be the Litecoin network, whatever it is. The point is, you're doing all this hashing, but it's not correctly formatted, so it's, and it's for the TSN. So what if you could actually make it so people could get credit, people could actually format their TSN mining to actually be contributing to hashing towards the Bitcoin network, and even have a chance, no matter how minuscule it is, of actually winning a Bitcoin block reward? And would that be possible? And then when you really think about it, the answer is actually fucking yes. It might actually be possible. So in Bitcoin, you have this thing called, or in Bitcoin mining, you have this thing called the nonce, right? So the nonce is just this, like, value that you change and iterate in order to mine Bitcoin. And you're essentially doing it in this thing called the Coinbase transaction, which is this thing that has no inputs because it's a Coinbase reward. And the miner puts their own address in it, so if they get it right, then they are acknowledged in the block as winning the reward. But the nonce is changed continually, but they're putting their own address. So what if, instead of TSN miners mining the TSN blocks only, what if they were literally, and this is like similar to how there's pool difficulties, right? You have people in a Bitcoin mining pool who are proving that they're hashing, and so they have like different levels of difficulty to prove that they're doing hashing. So it's like, even if you're doing a small amount of hashing, you could contribute to a pool, right? Even if you, there's not a big chance you're going to win, you could prove that you're contributing and doing these guesses. So what if, right? And this is fucking cool as shit if you ask me. You could be putting what if you could be using as your nonce in an official Bitcoin candidate mining attempt? Sorry. If you're using in your nonce in Bitcoin mining the correct hash of a TSN block, right? And so what if you did that and then you're putting in literally your own address as the Coinbase reward, as you always would, and then you're sort of submitting proof to me that you did this as part of TSN mining, similarly to how you'd be proving you mined in a Bitcoin mining pool. So just think about that. That's pretty fucking... So you could be doing the same thing, but you're also submitting hashes to the Bitcoin network, and potentially it's not impossible. It's like playing the lottery, right? And maybe this could grow over time as your net, as the people mining your shit increases. Like, you could actually win a Bitcoin mining reward by TSN mining.